So Proverbs chapter 24. What does Proverbs teach us to do? Or what does Proverbs teach us?
Be wise.
Be wise. So God, we ask you to teach us to be wise, because only by your Spirit you can do that. Would you forgive our sin and help us to learn obedience? And part of wisdom is knowing the right thing to do when doing it, especially when we don't want to do it. Because a lot of times we don't want to be wise. We want to do the quick thing, the fun thing, the thing that makes us feel good. So teach us to be obedient, even as you were learning how to be obedient, even to death. And be wise in that. I pray just for your blessings on our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me, guys. My sinuses. Says, do not be envious against evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. You know, sometimes we see people who are successful or do things, and they do it by evil means. The Bible says, don't be envious of them. Like, don't say, oh, I want the things that they have, or I'm going to go be a criminal too, so that I can have the cool things that they have. Bible just says, don't do it. And it says, why? Well, their heart studies destruction and their lips talk of mischief. That their heart is not studying how to be wise. Their heart is studying how to do things to get what they want. But in the end, it leads to destruction. And how can you tell? Well, their lips always talk of doing naughty things. They're always planning things and coming up with ways to do crime, to do evil. And sometimes those people are in government. Sometimes those people in your job. Sometimes those are the people in your school. Sometimes those are the people in your family. And the Bible says, don't be envious of them. You know, we have to remember, sometimes the world makes us feel like we're going the wrong way. Like we're doing the wrong thing, that we're the ones missing out. But we're not. We have to remember that. Because sometimes your heart will be like, oh, I wish I could do that. But if you really think about it, you go, oh man, I feel bad for them that they're doing that, but that's all they get. Punishment's coming. You have to remember, punishment's coming too. Let's go on. Sorry, I'm definitely tired and not feeling too hot, but we'll keep going. It says, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. Well, you might say, the house I'm living in, it wasn't really built with wisdom. My nana used to say about the condo that we lived in when I was in middle school and high school, she'd say, this thing was put together with spit, right? And it was a condo, and the people came in and built them all real quickly, but they all had a lot of problems with the roofs, and they had to like put all new roofs on a bunch of them, and there were issues that had to get sorted out, right? That they just rushed through, the builders rushed through to build it as fast as they could to make as much money as they could, but there were definitely mistakes made. And but a good house, you can tell when the builder has had wisdom, when the builder has made the right choices and maybe said, you know what, I'm not going to profit as much as I would otherwise, but I need to do this the right way. I need this to build this the right way. And it's the same thing, more than just actual physical house, but a spiritual house, a family. What is the life like inside the house? If it's not built with wisdom, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be unpeaceful. It's going to be unloving. But wisdom is going to build a house, build a family, build what goes in a house that way. And it says, by knowledge, the rooms will be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I mean, I've never been to a real mansion. Some of the people I knew growing up had a lot of money. But you go into different rooms and there's different treasures in every room. Now, we might have a little bit of that. You go in the kitchen, there's certain treasures and certain spices and chocolate and food. And you go downstairs and we have the movies and the Legos. And go upstairs and there's other things. You go in your room, there's other things. But in a mansion in someone's rich house, you'll find works of art, a library full of all the world's knowledge. And that was kind of a big deal before we had the internet. Now you're like, why do you want all those books? I can just look them up. Well, again, it's smart, smart to get those books now because they're removing books and changing books. They don't want you to have that knowledge. But that knowledge and understanding will fill the house with great things. We'll fill the house with good things. It won't be full of junk. It'll be full of stuff that's useful. Good tools. Good cooking stuff. Fun movies. Fun toys. Good books. Computers. Games. All sorts of things. That's the same thing with things that aren't a physical house. Like your mind. Your heart. Right? That a smart person, a wise person, the rooms of their heart, the rooms of their mind, are not full of junk, not full of worldly things. They're full of knowledge and wisdom and fun things and good things, you know. If Jesus is said to come live inside of us by his Spirit, what does he find in the rooms? Can he go in every room of our house, in our hearts? Are there places in the house of our heart and our mind that we don't let Jesus go? Oh no, don't go in there, Lord. That's the stuff I like to do. That's not good. You can go everywhere else, but you can't come in here, Lord. Let that not be so. Let him come in every room because he will fill every room with precious things. But that comes with wisdom, right? That a wise person also is going to be well-rounded. Nanny used to always tell me to be well-rounded as a kid. And maybe I'm too well-rounded in the middle from eating too many cookies. And maybe I'm too well-rounded and then I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. But it's good to know things. It's good to know things that you're interested in. And it's good to know things that you're not interested in. It's good to have an understanding of lots of things because they apply in other ways. Things you can learn in football, you might be able to apply in business. Things you learn in music might help you understand how to write better. It really helps your brain to be well-rounded and your life to understand things. And you can really see a bigger picture, especially if you understand history. You can understand why things are the way they are and how not to repeat the mistakes of the past. But let's go on. Verse 5 says, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Right? The Bible is clear that it's good to be healthy. It's good to be strong. It's not the main pursuit in life. The main pursuit is godliness. But a wise person is going to be strong in things. But a wise person is going to be strong in more than just physical strength. They're going to be strong in mind. They're going to know how to have a debate. They're going to know the facts on things. They're going to know all sorts of things. But they're also, you know, there's also wisdom in being strong, being able to lift something up, be able to do some work. And a man of knowledge increases strength, right? That who wants to be weaker? Not a wise person. Who wants to be weaker in anything? Who wants to be worse at anything? Not a wise person. A wise person always wants to improve themselves, always wants to learn more. You know, learning doesn't end at school. Learning keeps going on. I feel like I always like to learn, but I wish I had this much interest when I was back in school. I would have done better, but maybe not, you know. I don't always teach you everything you need to know in public school, but it is what it is, or private school. But he says, for by wise counsel you will wage your war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. That it's foolish to go alone, right? I remember that old Zelda game. Here, it's dangerous. Take this. Dangerous to go alone. Take this. And he gives Link his sword in the first game. But you need good counselors. You need good friends. You need good family who you can trust and ask for advice on. And say, hey, I've got this war I'm waging, right? None of us here are involved in war, but you're going to start a business. You're planning on going to school. You're trying to get married. You've got a plan to do something. You're in trouble and you're trying to figure out a way to make ends meet. That's a war. That's a battle. You've got a spiritual problem going on. How do I handle this? Well, good counselors. That's why there's the Pentagon. That's why there's a cabinet for the president. So that he can ask other people, hey, what do we do here? Let's come up with a good plan. And as a Christian, it's one thing to be a leader and be out in front and feel alone sometimes. But it's another thing to be totally alone. You need good counselors. You need to be turned to other people. It is foolish to never ask for advice. That doesn't mean you need to take everyone's advice. Sometimes hearing other people's advice just helps you know that the way you had originally thought was the right way to go, even if it's different than what they say. But a lot of times, they're going to help you go right away. You know, I've got a couple good friends of mine that I can turn to for that. And the multitude of counselors are a safety, that if you want to be strong, have good people around you. People around you that you can look up to in physical strength, in spiritual strength, in mental strength. Seek out friends who are smarter than you. Don't seek out friends who are dumber than you. Seek out friends who are stronger than you, not weaker than you. Now, granted, there's a place in life to, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any friends, but I'm saying friends of that nature. But there's a place in life where we need to disciple others, and there's a place in life where we need to disciple ourselves. And the point is, if you feel like you have a weakness, find someone who doesn't have that same weakness and ask them for advice, right? Like, if I want to get super healthy, I'm not going to go ask someone who's super unhealthy what I should do to get in shape, what I should do to eat better. I'm going to find a friend who is healthy already and ask what they're doing. You know, my friend Pastor Vinny makes videos, and I was asked him, I said, hey, what's your workflow? What programs do you use? What do you do this? What's the way to do this? Because although I could try and figure it out, the fact that he's doing it, I wanted to get some advice on that. And that's what you do. You find someone who's doing what you want to do, and you ask them how to do it. That's wisdom. So get counselors. But just another touch on that, you know, that as a Christian, we should have several types of relationships. One is the Paul and Timothy relationship. And that's the one where you're Timothy, and you're learning from Paul. Paul is like a spiritual father to you. Jesus said, don't call anyone father, but to look up to learn from, to trust in, to be fed by, to be instructed by. And there's also a time when you've learned something to be a Paul and to find someone who's your Timothy, who you can pour into, who you can help along and say, hey, I've been there before, let me help you. But then there's also the Barnabas, the person who's in a similar position in life as you. You know, your peer, you're 5 years old, you got a friend who's 5 years old. You're 45 and single mom, you got another friend who's 45 and single mom, right? They're going in, they're with it in together, right? They're people that are in the same stage of life that you're in that you can go through arm in arm with. But again, be careful that they're wise, you know, not perfect, but that, you know, a wise person doesn't mean they never do anything foolish, but they don't want to do anything foolish. They want to do the right thing. They want to choose the right way to go. Let's go on. Verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. You know, I think of mommy trying to reach the top shelf. And not that wisdom is too high for my wife, who's 4'11". But that's the idea. That wisdom is on the top shelf. And the fool goes, oh, I can't reach it. Well, there's a stool over there, fool. I can't reach it. Don't worry about it. Someone else will do it. No. A wise person is going to say, wisdom's up there. And this is the clincher. The wise person doesn't have the wisdom. They know that they're a fool. And so they figure out the way to get the wisdom. And so the wise person, even though they haven't grabbed the box of wisdom off the top shelf, will go find a stool to stand on to go get the wisdom off the top shelf. The fool will not. You know, I've been in the supermarket before, and little old ladies are like, hey, sir, can you grab that off the top shelf for me? And I'll grab it off the top shelf because they're wise enough to know I can't reach it, but that person over there can reach it. They should get it. And that's the same thing with good counsel, right? We want counselors who can reach the top shelf, so to speak. And the top shelf is Jesus. Ask him. But he says he does not open his mouth in the gate. That's an interesting one. And there's probably a lot more here if you did a lot of study on it. But from my little knowledge, I know that the gate of the city is where all the politics happened. That's where all the leaders sat. It was the public square. It's the place where things were decided for the town, for the city, for the people, for the families, for the tribe. And it says, he does not open his mouth in the gate. So I could take this as two things. He's got a seat there. He's got a seat in the government, but he doesn't do anything to affect the government. He just is there for along for the ride. He's there for the clout. He's there for the position. But he doesn't make any decisions. When the council says go one way, he doesn't disagree. He doesn't go against it. When the council says go another way, he doesn't agree with it or disagree with it. He just goes along for the ride. And I think that's a shame when we have positions in life and we don't use them for good. We don't get involved in things when we have the opportunity to get involved. In America, it's sad how few people vote. We have the opportunity to go make our voice heard. We have the opportunity to get out and get involved and have free speech to speak up for against evil, to speak up for good, to speak up for wisdom. And we go, I don't want to get involved. That's foolish. It affects you, whether you realize it or not. And more than that, you're responsible for it. You're going to have to answer one day for it. Not as much as your faith, but at the same time, God has blessed us with a freedom in this country to get involved and to resist evil and stand up for good. And if we don't use it, we're going to be responsible for it. When evil takes over because we did nothing, you are responsible for that evil. When an evil law gets passed and you did nothing to try and stop it, the blood is on your hands. But he doesn't open his mouth in the gate, right? That all he has to do is say, hey, that's not a good idea. Or hey, tell me more. Or hey, audit the IRS. Or hey, why are we spending all the money on this? Just open your mouth. You don't have to have the answer, but to not be involved, it's not a good thing. A fool is a coward, right? And cowards lay low. Cowards keep their mouth shut. Chapter 24, verse 8. Says, he who devises to do evil will be called the schemer of plots. You know, people love trying to figure out to do things, and you're going to get a reputation in life. Your reputation is what other people think about you, whether you realize it or not. They're going to come up with a thing about you. It's kind of like in the, to quote Batman, unquote, movies again. But Batman and Batman Begins, he's got his friend Rachel from when they're little, and she becomes a prosecutor, and he goes away and comes back, and it's Batman. She doesn't know that. And she said something to him when he came back that said, it's not who you are on the outside, Bruce. It's what you do that defines you, right? That it's not who you think you are or what you look like. It's what you actually do that defines you. And he says that at the end of the movie, and it's awesome. He's like, it's not what I do that defines me. And becomes Batman and goes off the side of the building. It's awesome. But that's the case here, that you devise evil all the time. People are going to notice that and call you a schemer. Politicians get their rap because that's what they do. They scheme. They plot. I don't even want to get into it. It's so ridiculous. People notice what you do. People notice how you act. How you act in business. If you finish your homework. If you do a good job. If you halfway do the job, say, sure, I'll go walk the dog, but you don't walk them off the yard and the dog poos in the yard. Now, I know across the street is a different story. That's what you're supposed to do, let them out. But if you have a job to do and you only go halfway, you're going to be known for the person who doesn't do the job the whole way. And then you're not going to get the next promotion or next gig. And that's not what you want in life. It says that verse 9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. That even the thought of foolishness is sin. The Bible's clear about our thought life, that we need to take every thought captive. And if you start thinking about doing a foolish thing, guess what? It's sin. Jesus said that if you've hated someone in your heart, you've murdered them in your heart. Now, is the consequence the same? No. Is the effect the same on the outside? No. But the effect is the same on your heart. It starts getting you going the wrong way. And it's sin. It's a different level of sin for sure. But you can't sit around and daydream about doing foolish things and have it not affect you. It will affect you. And it is sin. So daydream about good things. The Bible says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth, right? And it says the scorner is an abomination to men. That everyone hates someone who's complaining and scoffing and all the time. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. Let's see. Yeah, we can go on a little while longer. Verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Right? That there's going to be tough times in life. Day of adversity, right? day when everything's adverse against you, right? The words are against you, speaking against you, right? That the world is coming against you, problems are coming. And if you faint in a day of adversity, like, it's tough. Oh, I'm so tired. Right? It just means you're weak. It means you're weak. If you can't make it through a trial, it's because you're weak. And what does a wise person want to do? Get stronger. Get better. You know, there's that cheesy little sticker at Kempo that's on people's shirts that says, pain is weakness leaving the body. But it's true. If you suffer through pain, you're fighting through your weakness. Your weakness says, ow, stop it. Your weakness says, don't do this anymore, even if it's, you know, legitimately painful and you're bleeding, right? Ah, but if you grit and bear it and you get through it, you'll be stronger. I know this because the next time it happens, you go, oh, I remember the first time going to get a root canal. Right? And then I learned to pray through it. I learned to get through it. I learned to handle it. And going to the dentist again, I'm like, I know what it's going to be like. I've gone through this before. I survived it last time. Okay, it wasn't that bad this time. Still awful. But you're stronger. And you didn't faint. And you got through it. Now, not to knock you if you ever fainted. I know me, you fainted a couple times in life. That's not a thing. But it's just saying, if that happens, it's because your strength is small. And if you, it shouldn't be something to condemn you. Oh, I fainted. I didn't make it through. It was a tough thing. But you know what? That tough thing should prod you to get to be tougher in life. That way, the next time that thing happens, you can get through it and not faint and be stronger. That you go, oh, I fainted in that. I failed in that. God, help me be stronger in that, that I wouldn't fail like that again. It says verse 11, if you refrain to deliver those who are drawn into death and those who are ready to be slain, if you say, surely we do not know this, does not he who ponders the heart consider it? And he who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And he will not render to every man according to his works. Again, you can't pretend to live in a bubble. You can't pretend that you don't know what's going on in the world, to not just pay attention and realize, no, there is human trafficking. No, there is murder. No, there is abortion. No, there is awful things going on. Oh, no, I didn't know it. I just go about my life. That's foolish talk. A wise person, the fool and the wise person see the same thing. The wise person just does something about it. The fool hides. And it says this, like, God sees it. God knows what's in your heart. God knows what you know. You know, God will judge you based on what you know and what you've done with what you know. If you never saw it, you never heard about it, it'd be one thing. But this is really talking about those who have seen it and just pretended not to. Those who have seen it and said, no, that can't really be happening. No way, that doesn't happen here. Yes, it does. And God's going to go, I know you know because I see your heart. I know you know because I was there when you saw it and did nothing about it. And he says, he will render every man according to his works. That, again, all it takes for evil to prosper is for a good man to do nothing. That a wise person, a righteous person, a godly person, their job is to stand up for the right thing, no matter what it costs. And it really doesn't cost you that much to vote, does it? Doesn't cost you that much to talk about it. Maybe it does. Maybe people at work and people in the parking lot see your bumper sticker. Verse 13 says, my son, who are my sons? That's right. Who are my daughters? There we go. Eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb that is sweet to the taste. Right? Who likes to have something sweet? I mean, that's why candy is at the checkout, because you see it, you go, oh yeah, sweetness. No one puts broccoli by the counter. No one's going to buy broccoli on an impulse buy. I mean, maybe. But most people are going to go, oh, Reese's Pieces. Ooh, Skittles. Ooh, Kit Kat. Ooh, M&M's. Yeah. Because they're sweet. He's saying, and honey's not like sugar. Honey's not really bad for you. But he says, son, eat it. It's good for you. It tastes good. It's sweet. It's pleasant, right? It says, guess what? Just like that's pleasant, just like it's sweet, just like it's good in your mouth, and you want it, what a pleasurable snack. He says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. That just like the sweet honeycomb, the candy bar is to your tongue, so is wisdom and knowledge to your soul. That when your soul gets wisdom, you should go, oh, that's so good. Sometimes when I'm listening to a message and you'll hear me go, And you can't even control it. Sometimes you just have a candy bar and you go, you just can't control it. You have that good steak. That's the same way. When wisdom enters your soul, you go, And sometimes you just can't control it. And when you have found it, there will be reward and your expectation will not cut off. And when you find wisdom, this is the same thing. Wisdom will tell you to wait. Wisdom will tell you to hang on a little bit longer. Yes, it's painful, but hang on a little bit longer and you'll get there. And when you get there, it's on the shores, right? Imagine we're going to Silverwood. It takes 5 hours to get to Silverwood. And oh, it's so tiring. And oh, there's traffic. And oh, I just need to get out. And oh, I want to stretch my legs. And you get 10 minutes away from Silverwood. And you go, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to turn around and go home. Well, that's kind of foolish. If you just hang on for 10 more minutes, you would have gotten there and been able to go on the rides and eat the cotton candy and get a lemonade and run around and laugh and have fun. But you couldn't do it. And believer, how often do we do that? How often do we suffer? Does God lead us through trials and tribulation? And we go, oh, I can't do it. I can't push on. I can't go any farther. This is not what I expected. This is not what I wanted. This is painful. Other people are laughing at me. They're saying, why did you do that? Why are you following God? You're losing out. Well, hang on, believer. Remember what wisdom says. Remember, just go a little bit longer. God's led you there. Where God guides, God provides. But remember, he doesn't provide always in the way you think he will. Or when he will, just hang on one more minute. Don't give in. One more second, one more hour, one more week. In the grand scheme of things, what's one more month of suffering? What's one more year of trouble compared to heaven? And honestly, believer, what's 70 more years? Think about it. If you live 80 years and your whole life is 80 years and every year of your life was awful, because you're making the right choices. You lost your friends. You lost your family. You lost your job. You were persecuted. You went to jail. You were beaten up. But you were doing the right thing. And then you go to heaven for eternity. Would it have been really foolish to let go on year 79 and miss out on eternity? Miss out on eternity of rewards? Forever cookies, forever gold, forever hugs, forever laughs, forever fun, forever peace, forever joy, because you couldn't hang on for one more year, or two more years, or three more years. What's 80 years in the sight of eternity? That's why the Bible says to teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. And your expectation will not be cut off. Right? That God doesn't want to cut you off. We cut ourselves off before we get the reward. I can't wait for the spouse that God has for me, so I'm just going to marry this person. God's like, oh, if you just waited 6 more months, the right person would have come along. Oh, God, I can't wait. I can't wait for the right job to come along. I'm just going to have to move out to California because there's jobs in California. And God's like, oh, if you just waited 1 more month, silly examples, maybe. That's the way God works a lot of times. We're suffering. We try and figure a way out of that suffering and use our wisdom. But there's something not right about it. There's not a peace in our solution. There's not a peace in our decision. And the answer of our decision might be right in front of us, but there's just no peace in it. And that's God going, this might look like the right answer, but it's not my answer. This might be what everyone else says to do, but this is not what I've told you to do. This is not what wisdom says to do. Slow down, step back, turn around, just wait one more day. And the answer doesn't come tomorrow, guess what? Wait one more day. The answer doesn't come after that. The money doesn't show up. The job doesn't turn up. Keep doing what you know to do to be the right thing. And let, like we talked before, the message that suffering teach us to be obedient. Because wisdom says, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what the suffering is, because my expectation will not be cut off. Because when we obey God, there's always a reward. When we wait on God, His answer is always better. It's always sweeter. It always tastes good. There's no suffering in it. But when we try and meet our own need, there's always a burden to it. There's always a cost. There's always a cost. It might be good, but it's not the best. It might be all right, but it's not sweet. It might work, but there's no peace. And that's not what God wants for any of us. That's why God gives us so much wisdom. It says, look, it's there. It's on the top shelf. Just wait for it. Or better yet, Jesus, you can reach it. You put it up there. You made it. Can you get it for me? Would you give me the wisdom that I need, God? Because I can't get to it on my own. No college degree, no advice, no skill, no plan. But God, what you have for me is best. Help me wait. Help me not settle for the second shelf. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is great, but what I need right now is wisdom. A job right now is great, but what I need is a calling. There's a difference. The enemy loves the counterfeit, loves to make the box nice and shiny so that we go for the other box instead of going for the plain package of wisdom on the top shelf. We go for the shiny box that's right in front of us. And that's not what God wants for any of us. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to have hope and not have our expectation cut off. Because if you put your hope in Jesus, He will not let you down. Amen? And so who wants to be weak? Who wants to be strong? Who wants to be foolish? Who wants to be wise? Then know that sometimes you have to eat the bitter to learn to taste the sweet. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your wisdom. And help us to wait on you. Help us to trust you. And it doesn't look like the answers are coming. Help us to be patient and to pray and to trust that, God, you are the answer. And maybe we're praying for the wrong thing. Maybe we're looking the wrong direction. Maybe you say you want us to throw our net on the other side of the boat. And that's where all the fish are. We're like, God, that's silly. The net goes under the boat. The fish are under the boat. Nope. God, you know. You know it better than us. Help us to let your wisdom reign in our life and not let our skill, not let our education, not let our ability, not let our pedigree, not let our wallet, not let our friends get in the way of that. Help us to be a good friend, to be a wise friend. Help us to find those who are strong and look up to them, and help us to find the weak and to help lift them up. But God, most of all, come soon and help us be patient and ready and waiting for your return, because when you come, it's going to be awesome, and we will not lose heart and lose our expectation. So we trust you and ask you to meet all our needs too, because only you can. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So may God bless you and keep his face shine upon you. Enjoy the cookies. There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind, and all we drink first light until